Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for being here with us tonight on Sweet Liberty. Today is Wednesday. It is the 17th of January in the year 2007. Gosh, that's hard to keep in my mind. I'm going to start here tonight with a very beautiful love story for our spiritual message. This was an email that I received from Jean in Virginia. It's a story about a whale, and it says if you read the front story, Eleanor, are you there, honey?
Oh, I'm here.
Okay, I just heard a screech, and I just wanted to make sure you were still there. If you read the front page story of the San Francisco Chronicle, you would have read about a female humpback whale who had become entangled in a spider web of crab traps and lines. She was weighted down by hundreds of pounds of traps that caused her to struggle to stay afloat. She also had hundreds of yards of line rope wrapped around her body and her tail and her torso, and a line tugging in her mouth. A fisherman spotted her just east of the Farallone Islands outside of the Golden Gate and radioed an environmental group for help. Within a few hours, the rescue team arrived and determined that she was so bad off, the only way to save her was to dive in and untangle her. A very dangerous proposition. One slap of the tail could kill a rescuer. And they've got a couple of photographs here, folks. Beautiful photographs of the blue ocean and blue sky without chemtrails in it. And there is the whale, and you can see the lines wrapped around her and stuff sticking on her. They must be the traps. It says that they worked for hours with curved knives and eventually freed her. When she was free, the divers say she swam in what seemed like joyous circles, and she then came back to each and every diver one at a time and nudged them, pushed them gently. She thanked them. Some of them said it was the most incredibly beautiful experience of their lives. The guy who cut the rope out of her mouth says that her eye was following him the whole time, and he will never be the same. May you and all those you love be so blessed and fortunate to be surrounded by people who will help you get untangled from the things that are binding you, and may you always know the joy of giving and receiving in gratitude. And it says that here, I pass this on to you, my friend, in the same spirit. This has been truthed out. Checked out by Truth or Fiction. It is a beautiful story to me, and it is a love story, and it is a confirmation for me, not that I needed it, but I love this, that shows the consciousness that is in all living things, folks. And I thought about this, that it, the connection that we all have between one another, the only real thing is love and truth. Because I believe that is light in this world, love and truth. And I want to share with you, we've done this many times. This is from John 18, when Jesus was talking with Pontius Pilate, and Pilate asked him if he was a king. These are the words that allegedly that Jesus said. He said, "You say that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." And that's how it is for me, folks. And our lovely guest tonight is Eleanor White. Eleanor's been on before another time. And Eleanor has a website, and we'll tell you how to find her site. And she also has a radio broadcast. And first, I want to say welcome, Eleanor, to Sweet Liberty, and thank you so much for being here tonight.
Well, Jackie, thank you for having me, and I'd like to comment that your love story there reminds me of the love that is demonstrated tremendously by those brave broadcasters who broadcast the truth, and you're one of them. I thank you very much.
Thank you, Eleanor. Well, folks, Eleanor and I email each other from time to time. Actually, what we found out, though, is that I probably am not getting all her mail and she's not getting mine. But what initiated my call to her is that there was an article in the Washington Post that just absolutely amazed me because it talked about what they call gang stalking. And this has been such a terrible thing for so many people who have been experiencing it. And I thought it was just like a miracle that it finally appeared. And, I mean, you know, the Washington Post is right up there with the New York Times, and I know it's controlled medium. So that's why I was thinking it was such a wonderful opening for you and for all of the people in the group. And maybe you would want to take just a few minutes, Eleanor, to explain when we say gang stalking, because it doesn't really explain it, I mean, in my mind, what people are actually experiencing. Would you like to do that first, son?
Sure. First of all, I don't use the term gang stalking anymore. Some of our members use it for a while, but what we find is when we talk to people who are not aware of it, they immediately get the picture of youth gangs or biker gangs or criminal
right.
Organized crime gangs. That's not what's happening here. What these gangs are, are groups like, imagine an extremist group that might grow out of Neighborhood Watch or Citizens on Patrol. These are community members who harass and torture people they believe have a criminal past and really should be run out of their cities.
In other words, they're doing it because they've been lied to.
Absolutely. The lie is the number one tool of these harassers.
Right.
Now, the Washington Post article dealt not so much with gang stalking, but with an unfortunately popular name for this crime syndrome called mind control. I like to use organized stalking and electronic harassment, phrase, to describe the full crime syndrome.
Organized stalking and electronic
harassment.
Harassment, yes.
Now, mind control is a subcategory of electronic harassment. It is very invasive, and it does happen, but it's far from the whole picture. And basically, the Washington Post article started out pretty much by telling the story of one of our members, a Mr. Harlan Gerard,
right,
who he hasn't had a whole lot of a career because he had a generous inheritance, but he did manage to get a bachelor's and master's level university degree, and he's a smart fellow. And what happened was, some remarks were made about Harlan's background, and then the author, Sharon Weinberger, who is a contributing writer for the Post, went on to focus on one of the electronic harassment methodologies called voice to skull. And what this is technology that can project a voice right into your skull, through your home walls, and it's not acoustics, and it's high fidelity. It's just like you're hearing voices, only the difference is this is equipment doing it, not natural mental illness.
Is the voice like in your head, or does it sound like it's coming from outside you?
It can be done either way. However, most of the time it's in the head of the hearer. I haven't had voice-to-skull per se, but I've had a lot of tricks played on me, like hearing an alarm clock going off at 3 o'clock in the morning and reaching over and finding it's not the alarm clock at all. It's artificial sound, but that's into my head.
Uh-huh.
Or fake knocking on the door. or all manner of annoying noises, particularly when you're trying to sleep. Sleep deprivation is a big part of this. And by the way, listeners, my throat was perfect before I picked up the phone. This is standard procedure. They are
I shouldn't laugh.
No, they're able to create all kinds of physical symptoms along with the acoustic tricks. We don't know how it's done. they can make you ill, just like switching on a lamp, and then when you've missed your appointment, they'll switch it off. And that's the way it goes for 27 years.
What do you mean? Oh, if you had an appointment for something important, then you would get ill, you'd miss your appointment, and then the next thing you're better.
Well, that was more of a figure of speech. Obviously, unless you were dead, you'd make an important appointment. But let's say it's something you simply wanted to do, wanted to accomplish, but wasn't, say, a doctor's appointment. In that case, quite often they'll make you so sick you can barely hobble around your apartment, and then as soon as it's too late in the day to do it, they'll flip the other switch and you're back to normal. And that's the kind of thing that brought the Washington Post article into existence.
How did she get the information, Eleanor?
Well, for about the past 7 or 8 months, she has been in touch with various of our members. I'm not sure who she contacted first.
Uh-huh.
It might well have been Harlan Girard. Harlan is not too far from Washington, D.C. I think he's in Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's what it said here in the article.
And because he has a little bit of money, he's been able to publicize his name a little bit better than most of us. His website is icomw, and I don't know whether it's org or .com.
Okay.
I haven't visited there too much because it's just new and he doesn't have much on there. But going back to the article, the voice to skull that Harlan was attempting to convince Sharon Weinberger was a real technology. She ignored the rock-solid evidence that it not only exists, it's been in the public domain for 33 years.
In other words, that they do have the technology?
Oh, yes. It's not even classified. Now, the reason it hasn't been used for things is because it is basically a radar signal. And there's all these concerns about cell phones. Well, you can imagine that a more powerful radar signal is something that industry and government are less likely to use openly on the average citizen. So that's why you don't hear about it. It was the fears of the effects of the radio signal, not the technology per se.
Per se.
Yeah.
But she mentions that one guy in there that writes, I'd have to scroll down to find it here, but he had an article that appeared in the Army Times, and I've read an excerpt from that many times. It was several years ago.
Yes, but that's a prediction.
Oh.
That's the problem. Every time we get a mainstream, non-targeted person to help us, they, even though you hand them on a silver platter the evidence about voice to skull being real and not even new, they won't use it. They will search around until they find that prediction article. Maybe we'll have it by 2025 or something like that.
Okay.
But so that's a smokescreen, and I don't know. I'm not saying that the mainstream people who are doing this are perpetrators, but it's quite possible they've been threatened. Because think about this. Think about the impact on psychiatry. If the general public knew that there was a second explanation for people hearing voices,
right,
their whole ability to force people into drugs and so forth would be undermined.
I remember reading an article about Kip Kingle. Kip Kingle, I think that was his name. He was the boy in Oregon that killed his mother and father and then went to school and shot up some children. You recall that incident? He was on Prozac, by the way, but this was an article that was written by a psychologist that interviewed him, and he said that absolutely that Kip Kingle, whether he did or not, he said he believed it. He was told to do what he did. And Kip said that he, the voices talked to him outside the house in the bushes. And I can remember Shirley Allen. I don't know if you were aware of the situation.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Shirley had said that there were voices coming, you know, from out in the woods, telling her to kill herself, to commit suicide. And
that's the kind of thing that happens to our members a lot, Jackie.
Yes.
A lot of the messages are, kill yourself, why don't you kill yourself?
Right.
You're worthless and stuff like that.
Right. Well, see, they said, well, you know, she's psychotic and all that. There was an article in the Chicago Sun-Times. I have it in my files. And there was a friend of Shirley's who came to visit her one day. Summer day, the doors and windows were open. She said they were sitting having coffee, and the woman heard the voices. She said, Shirley is not crazy, and the voices are real because I heard them myself.
Well, you know, with the pulse-modulated radar, which is how these voices work, depending on the angle of the transmitting antenna, it very well could be heard by two or more people.
Sure.
If they were in line with it.
Sure. Well, she was sitting right there at the table with Shirley Allen. And remember that time I told you? Because I'll tell you, folks, and I probably said this to Eleanor, but when I first started getting mail from Eleanor, I thought, oh, man, this poor lady, you know, she's really hurting here. I thought it was kooky, Eleanor, when I first started getting your email. And then but before this, I had been hearing these funny sounds outside. Chuck was here. This is over 4 years ago, but he was never home when it happened. It would be on a summer day. It happened many times. I'd be out in the garden, and I'd heard this crazy screeching like from the trees, but it wasn't a crow. And I thought, what in the heck is this? A couple times I walked over towards the trees just to look to see if I could see anything. I've got my two great big girls here, the dogs, Old English Mastiffs. But I told Chuck about it, but he was never here when it happened. And then the one day I went out to the mailbox, and it came from right across the road, which is just a meadow. And it goes up a hill, and there are trees over there, but the trees are way up, and this was right across the road. And I stood there, and I looked around, and I thought, what in God's name is this? And then when I went on your website, you had a list of some of the symptoms, some of the things that people experience that are being harassed this way, and one of them was the fake bird calls, and also the noises jumping you awake just as you're getting ready to go to sleep at night, a bang or a click, not a click, but a knock, anything that would jump you out of your sleep. And I told you that, you know, and then of course I realized that, no, you're not a kooky lady, you're a very intelligent woman. And my question that I have, and I don't know if we've ever talked about this, is there any pattern of people that are selected to be harassed like this?
We've asked ourselves that a lot. One of the problems is that because everybody is so spooked by all this, they're very, very reluctant to fill in surveys, even by other targets.
Well, sure.
So what happens is that we're not able to take surveys and get good statistics. However, a portion of our membership, not a big portion, you know, maybe 1 in 10, are some form of logical reasons why they'd be targeted. Number one on the list is whistleblowers. Like Lorraine Moray is one of our members, and she's a depleted uranium whistleblower and someone who reported a lot of criminal activity at Lawrence Livermore Labs.
Okay.
And she's gone public, of course. Then the next category are activists against corporations and government. Some hostile divorces where there's a lot of money involved, and some inheritance cases where someone's in line to inherit a lot of money. The people who aren't making out as well are and have connections to this harassment entity are apparently able to turn someone's name in, and then they become one of us too.
Well, you know that it fits with Shirley Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Because Shirley, this all came out afterwards. I have this information too, that her property, see, she had been married to a man who had been previously married, and when in his will, the property where they lived, the home and the property, was, if anything should happen to him, then it would to be Shirley's until such time as she passed over or possibly became, what do they call it? You know, couldn't take care of herself. In other words, what they were accusing Shirley Allen of is that she was psychotic and a sick woman.
Oh, I see the
okay.
The there, yeah.
There is a lot of oil there. There were some big people, oil people in Chicago, that wanted the property. And Shirley wouldn't sell. Well, she actually couldn't sell, but in order to get her off the property and get the daughter, the stepdaughter, get it into her hands so she could sell it, it was Shirley's brother, from whom she was estranged, and the stepdaughter that went to the courts. And they took a letter that Shirley had written the brother and was explaining to him some things that were going on there. They had a hearing, but Shirley never was even invited to appear to it. And just by the letter that was written, Shirley Allen was, they decided to pick her up. And, you know, 72-hour hold her there and, you know, give her tests and things like that. And that's how this whole thing started, because when they came to get her, she said, no, I'm not going. And but it makes sense. Now, you were in the service. You were in the... I want to just finish this with one more thing, because a lot of people aren't aware of this. Jack McLam, they had a... And I'm saying this, folks, because I believe Jack McLam is back on the air, and there are people who think he's a wonderful hero. Jack McLam, the people in Illinois were holding a rally for Shirley, and Jack McLam attended. He was invited from some guy in Chicago that... It was speculated that this guy probably was an agent. Anyway, he lauded, they surrounded Shirley Allen. She was under siege, just the way the Waco people in Waco were, for at least a month, maybe longer. And they pulled the same things on her that they did the people at Waco. Come to find out, Bo Greitz had gone there and had advised the state police, the bright lights and the squealing rabbits and the loud music and things like that. But at this rally, Jack McLam made the statement, and is on our website, folks, at sweetliberty.org in the archives. He had been privileged to read the letter that the judge had, and he said that Shirley Ann Allen was a troubled woman and needed to be taken in, and he was applauding the state police and the way that they treated her. And he said, had I been the officer in charge, I would have given orders to open fire. I think he said on several occasions, but I'm not sure. But you can go into the archives at sweetliberty.org, scroll down a little ways, it's on the right hand side. A man from Illinois, because I lived in Illinois and had a lot of networkers there, sent me, overnighted me the video. And I took Jack McLam's speech right off the video. And at one point, on the video, the people, evidently, the cameras were on Jack McLam, but everybody was evidently looking up behind him. And he turned around and looked up. They said that there were snipers up in the bell towers up there. And Jack told the crowd, they're not going to hurt you. They're here to protect you. He got boos and catcalls from the crowd. Jack McLam is not a hero to the people in this country for those statements. It doesn't take much to know that one is a phony, and that certainly showed it. And Eleanor, I'm sorry to interrupt our conversation with that, honey, but I want people to know.
Oh, sure, I understand.
Lot of people. Jack McLam, he's even said himself that he has thousands of names on file of policemen and military personnel and former that have, you know, written to him and promised that they would never turn their guns on their fellow countrymen. And when he said that, I thought, well, that's the perfect place for them to go and begin to call the police and the military and get their list of people that they might want to pick up when/if, you know, they start picking people up. Those would be the ones. And so he purports to be a big hero, and he has a lot of good information and says a lot of good things, and it is not true. So there you go. Okay, I'm done with that. But in your case, Eleanor, do you have an idea of why maybe that you've been targeted?
No, I don't. And we have discussed that among ourselves as well. There are various opinions. Mine is that what we're seeing here is the run-up to the world dictatorship coming out of the closet and revealing itself to the public of the world. And whenever you have an iron-fisted dictatorship, you must have local thugs to keep people in line.
Uh-huh.
And so if you're going to build up a core of such people, you have to recruit them and train them and keep them in practice.
Wow,
and
right
so,
out of the
so
range.
They're going to have to take on a lot of people who are simply practice targets for them to keep them in readiness for the day when they come out and say, okay, you're all under the New World Order control, and
they'll
that's
have
it.
And they'll have their little minions all in order.
Yeah.
And these minions will believe that they're rounding up bad people.
That's right, just like the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you've been making wonderful headway. I mean, from the when I first, at least, became acquainted with you, I mean, there were so few of you, and it was so frustrating. And your numbers are growing. People coming and joining, if you would, or, you know, writing to you and becoming part of the group that's trying to expose this, because it's happening not just in the U.S., but all over the world, isn't it, Eleanor?
Oh, absolutely. We have people forming groups in every one of the major countries. There's a big contingent in Russia, and another one in Japan, and
England.
Yeah. I mean, any well-developed country has a contingent now of our members who are trying to do what activism we can. But you have to remember that they keep us poor. They go in and destroy your reputation so that you can't get a job. And once you can't get a job, there isn't a whole lot of effective activism you can do. You're lucky to have a computer.
Yes. Yes. That's amazing. We're just about ready to take our break. At the half hour, we'll only be gone for 3 minutes, and then we'll be back. You have a radio broadcast that you're doing now, right?
Just let me tell the listeners, Shoestring, just like a pair of shoelaces, shoestringradio.net. That's it. And the whole story is accessible from that little site.
Shoestringradio.net.
That's right.
Now, do these have to be downloaded, or can they just click and listen?
Click and listen.
Click and listen.
Or download, either way.
Either way you want to do
yeah.
it. That's good. Well, we're going to talk some more about that when you get back, because I want them to know about your website, how they can contact you, etc., because we may have some listeners that are, and maybe, Eleanor, if it's handy, you could read the list of some of the things that happened to people, because I found out I was on that list.
Sometimes our .com server goes down, so don't forget, we have a backup, firstamendmentradio.net.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on FirstAmendmentRadio.com are listener-supported. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
If you read the history books, the most often asked question to Southerners was this: why did you fight? And the most often given answer is, because you're here. In other words, the South did not invade the North invaded the South.
Was it the Civil War or War of Federal Aggression? John Weaver sets the record straight in this DVD series on the Civil War from the Old Pass Christian History Conference. Was there a war to set the slaves free? Or was it a war to enslave us all? Get this DVD and judge for yourself. War of Federal Aggression. Get this DVD presentation for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Call 559-781-3773. The truth seems strange only because we've been indoctrinated with a fiction. War of Federal Aggression. Get it today.
All right, we're back, folks, with Eleanor White from Raven1.net. That's the website. Eleanor, you have another website beside that, or is that the main one?
Well, Raven1.net is the oldest one and the largest. It was set up to collect documentation for both electronic harassment and organized stalking. The shoestringradio.net, it covers the same subjects, the organized stalking and electronic harassment, but does so with a few little shows that I've put together, and also a number of special items, which are clips from other shows, other audio clips, which bear on the same topic.
Mm-hmm.
And I have one specially set up for organized stalking alone, since some people find it more comfortable to talk about that and leave the electronics out for a while. That's multistalkervictims.org, and that one is clickable from your sweetliberty.org site, Jackie.
Multistalkervictims.org. Victims.org. Is that the link we have at Sweet Liberty?
Yes, it is.
Well, we should have all of your links there. I'll write to Darren and ask him if he'll do that, get shoestringradio.net. This is multistalkersvictims.net.
No, multistalkervictims.org. The stalker is single and
stalker.
The victims is plural.
And victims.org.
.org.
And then Raven1, folks, that's a numeral one, R-A-V-E-N. I did that with an I again, Eleanor. Raven1.net. That was the one that I went into initially, and that's when I started reading that list of things, and I found not the same, you know, a whole bunch of things on that list, but I know those were fake bird calls.
Oh yeah, bird calls are very, very common among us. In fact, that's one of the symptoms that we have on that little survey you saw several years ago.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
About 1 in 5 have fake loud bird calls outdoors, and which tend to follow you around.
Yeah, like out to the mailbox.
Yeah. Incidentally, you know, that technology is very basic these days. It was invented by Woody Norris, and it's called hypersonic sound, and there's a competitor to Woody Norris, a fellow from MIT, calls his the acoustic spotlight, and our members have a couple of demonstrator units, and we take them to public gatherings and demonstrate them, and a lot of people are shocked by what they can do.
When you take them to public places, do some people say, wait a minute, I've heard that? I mean, have you...
I haven't heard report. I don't have one myself, but I have. They're
okay.
about $2,500 each.
Oh.
But I haven't heard that other targets have been discovered that way. One fellow tried to hand out some flyers to police at a summer event, and they weren't interested, so he waited until they were about 100 feet away. He aimed the unit at the back of their heads and said, I saw what you did yesterday. And boy, did that get their attention. They came right back and got the flyer.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Well, I know that there, you know, it makes me feel creepy a little bit to talk about this on the air because things have been fairly quiet around here. But at the time that was going on and after Chuck's passing, I was uneasy here anyway, you know, by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And not that I'm alone, but you know, without Chuck and oh God, trying to sleep at night, Eleanor, was just almost impossible. And that was exactly what would happen. I'd start drifting off, and you know, you get to know your house noises. I can hear when the ice cubes are dropping into the tray, and I know the house noises, but they were always a noise that was loud enough to jar you out of your sleep. And sometimes I'd get up and get my gun and go downstairs with the girls and look around just so that I could go back to sleep. And it happened over and over and over. And sometimes the ringing would start, and it was only in one ear, though. I mean, is that normal, or?
Yes, ringing in the ear, often similar to what's called the natural condition called tinnitus.
Yeah.
Or tinnitus. Is a fairly common symptom. I've had it now since 1997.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it is in one ear, sometimes it's in both. And the technology that's probably being used there is something called silent sound. And it's fairly simple in concept. If you take normal speech and use a gadget which is like those voice changers you can get to change your voice.
Yes.
And run the speech up right to the very top of the human hearing range, you will no longer be able to make out any words. It'll just sound like, you know, a tone, basically.
It's a tone, yes.
Yes.
And
however,
the tone changes.
However, your brain can make out the words, even though your conscious hearing sense cannot. And what this does, this gives a way to play hypnosis commands into you while you're not aware, consciously aware of what's being said, so you can't really defend yourself very well against them. And that's what silent sound was developed for. Silent sound is what is used in these big stores that have shoplifting prevention programs there. They play anti-shoplifting silent sound through the music, and the report is that it's highly effective.
And what do they do? Say shoplifting subliminal message?
Well, the word subliminal is correct, but it's a much more penetrating and effective form of subliminal than the old what's called time slice subliminal, where you flash every 16th frame is a picture of popcorn or something.
Subliminal music with subliminal messages in it.
That's right. What this does is by shoving the voice up into the very upper end of your hearing range, there's not much else in that range, so your brain can listen to it as a second channel, even though you're hearing
it. In other words, your subconscious mind is picking it up.
Yes.
That's why it can be hypnotic.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And when you couple that to the capability of transmitting voice to skull through someone's wall, I mean, you can hypnotize them in bed every night for years, totally mess up their personality, and they don't have a clue why. If they're really susceptible, I mean, you can create some really wild hallucinatory effect.
Uh-huh.
You know, everybody knows the hypnosis, when done voluntarily, can do some amazing things.
Right. I've seen it. Right. I've seen it in action. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the time I told you I heard the Jew's harp outside?
Mm-hmm.
At first when I heard it, I thought there must be a car sitting out there with the radio up real loud. I mean, that was my first thought. And then it got, the volume went lower and lower and lower. And my windows were open, so you can hear a car even if it's going very slowly on that road. And then it started up again, and then I thought, well, maybe it's across the road. My friend that bought the property, and they go up there and camp out at night in the summer. And so I called him and asked him, did you guys camp out the other night? And he said no, because I thought maybe somebody up there, and maybe the sound was just carrying. But I thought it was very interesting that they used a Jew's harp, because it was at the time that I was first becoming aware of the influence of the elite Jews, the Zionists in this country. And I was exposing it, and there was a Jew's harp playing outside. I noticed when there's a lot of people around, I hear nothing happens. And Alan said that it's very difficult for them to zone in on your own brain waves when there are a lot of other frequencies around. Because I had a whole summer when the children were here of none of that, and it was the week that they left that the Jew's harp was outside.
You know, that's very typical.
Uh-huh.
They're cowards. They don't like to be detected.
Uh-huh. I've asked you a bunch of questions. Is there something that you would like to specifically talk about to our listeners?
Well, you know, that's a difficult question, Jackie, because one of the things we ask among ourselves on our forums is when we find people that are open to hearing about this issue, what can we ask these people to do to help? It's very difficult because these crimes are very carefully engineered to be deniable. In other words, the electronics is silent.
Right.
It's through wall, which most people believe is impossible. The harassment tactics in the community are always very carefully designed to be below a threshold where police will be interested. For example, noisy neighbors. Everywhere you move, you have a noisy neighbor in our members, whereas other people might have a noisy neighbor one place, but when they move, they lose a noisy neighbor, not us.
Uh-huh.
And how you equip people with methods where they can genuinely help is a very difficult question. I don't really have an answer. When people come up to me and ask me, okay, well, we understand this is going on, what can we do to help? I say, even though it may not be your favorite pastime, spend a little time reading our websites, learning about it, and talking it up with your friends.
Yes.
Mouth-to-mouth advertising is the most powerful kind there is, and that would work especially well with our issue. To get numbers of people comfortable at least discussing this, even if they don't go out and carry picket signs.
Right, right. When you are you still doing that, carrying the picket signs?
Well, actually, at the moment, I've suspended that because what's been happening, as you know, the current events are accelerating to an incredible speed, and the North American Union is set to destroy Canada. And so, believe it or not, there is now a fledgling Canadian Patriot movement, if you can believe it. It has the name Canadian Action Party, and the leader is a very articulate attorney in British Columbia. So I've been trying to work with them to head off this North American Union, this invasive highway, rather than picketing on our cause.
Right, gotcha. I want to warn you to be careful, because I don't know if you've recently found out that the Minutemen organization is a fraud. The Minutemen Defense.
Yes, I've heard that they only wanted to get attention so they could do some other political things.
Well, they wanted to start a third party.
Yeah.
But I got this. This was from the Georgia Militia. What do they call it? Where they go and post notices and things. And it was the administrator, and he said, "I want our membership to know about this."
Mm-hmm.
He had been at an event, and the militiamen were there, and he was given some of their literature, and on the literature it said that the Minutemen Civil Defense Corps is a project of the Declaration Alliance. I shared this with our listeners last week. The Declaration Alliance is a 501c4, and it's headed up by Alan Keyes. Alan Keyes is associated with Bilderbergers, and he is a longtime member of the Council for National Policy. Why I'm saying this is because I thought it was the greatest thing since sliced bread, what these wonderful people were doing. And I've got it ready to send to Darren. He had a computer crash, and a lot of stuff that I've sent him hasn't been posted, but I'm going to resend. But what I said was that either the Minutemen took action out of genuine concern for the illegals pouring over the Mexican border into the U.S. and have been hoodwinked by the New World Order minions, or the Minutemen Project was organized originally as controlled opposition, and whatever the original intent under the tutelage of Alan Keyes, it's now a compromised controlled opposition project. And Eleanor, you just have to be so wary, honey, because when enough people begin to wake up, it's sort of like when they see the sleeping giant begin to rub its eyes and say, "Whoa, wait a minute, what's happening here?" When they start an organization, and I can vouch for this, excuse me, because, you know, originally when I began to wake up and didn't know what to do, I got hooked up with all these phony conservatives and spent thousands and thousands of dollars supporting them, thinking how wonderful it was that there are groups like this out here, standing vigilant for us and trying to alert people and et cetera, et cetera. And then I found out that every single one of them, I found this out later by Betty Mills, my beloved friend and mentor, but I finally got it myself. I thought, sure, I've been doing this for 3 years. I've spent thousands of dollars. Nothing's happening. It's getting worse. And, I mean, I got mail. Eleanor, my mail just was unbelievable. Sometimes I'd send 25. Sometimes it would be 50. Sometimes 100, 200. I sent $500 to Jesse Helms, Senator Jesse Helms' campaign thing, because I thought he was the only hero up there, out there in Washington, D.C.
Well, Jackie, rest easy, because those of us locally who are working under the Canadian Action Party banner, we are very well aware that organizations always become infiltrated, and our local efforts are not going to promote the party. Our local efforts are going to promote the issue.
Okay.
We can simply use the party because they've got a good website on the
top. And they have a voice. They're out there with a voice.
Yes.
Good. Thank you. You be very, very careful. We've got let's see, 4950. Do you have that list handy, Eleanor, where you could just kind of run down some of the things that people, I'm switching back to the...
Okay, yes, I have it right on screen here.
Would you share some of those with our listeners?
Okay, before I do, just let me say something that's brand new that I didn't mention. It wasn't in existence when I was on your show last. We have two little web pages put up. One called policewhoknow.txt and docs, D-O-C-S, whoknow.txt. And we're collecting instances where police have actually told our members in confidence that they know this is a real crime and that they are under strict orders to ignore us.
Wow.
And
now that's a section in your website?
Yeah, all three websites have those pages. And they're in the menus. And
okay.
One of the police was actually a sign, you know, with full contact information from a chief of detectives in a major city who said not only is he under orders not to, you know, not to help us at all, he's under specific orders to make us look crazy and try to get us into psychiatric treatment.
Oh, my God. Now, so they're part of the program. It
yes.
isn't that they've been hoodwinked and think you're bad people.
That is correct.
They're part of the program.
Absolutely.
Okay, it's like the satanic groups.
Yes.
Because they have members that are chiefs of police and judges
yep.
and in very high places that will help to further the dirty work.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Now, because we're a little short on time, let me start on the list of these are the common symptoms that we offer as a self-test for people who may be harassed by organized stalking and electronic harassment. First, you find that all of your family, friendship, and business relationships are going sour, and you have done nothing to cause this. Next, you have a very bizarre situation in which you find your path, both walking and driving, suddenly blocked everywhere you go. Strange blockages, people shooting out of side streets and stopping in front of you three or four times in one trip. Next, telephones are screwed up. They have static or tones or echoes, and you have lots and lots of wrong number calls.
Okay.
Street lights going out as you pass under them walking or driving. Watch and other batteries going dead real often, far too soon to be natural. You find that you're coming suddenly awake at precisely the same time in the middle or wee hours of every night.
Oh, man.
Inescapable voice in your head, and you are not mentally ill. In other words, you don't have any other symptoms
right.
of mental illness. You're in middle age, and you know, you would have had schizophrenia by then if you were going to have it.
Right.
Ringing in the ears may start or stop when switching on or off electronic devices. Fake telephone or clock ringing or fake knocking on your door. Fake loud bird calls outdoors which follow you everywhere. Now here's one of the things they use on me to keep me awake. Hot needles deep in your flesh. Now that's a sensation of, especially when trying to sleep. We also call those bee stings. Limbs, arms and legs, jerking wildly, especially when trying to sleep. Extremely powerful itching, which may start as small electrical shocks. Very fast heartbeat while relaxed, not having exercised recently. Very high body heat, no fever, relaxed conditions, and cool surroundings.
You mean those aren't hot flashes?
No, these men have them too.
Okay.
Vibration, large area of your body, or nearby objects which should not vibrate normally. And this is powerful vibration. You hold the glass of water next to the body part or object, and you'll see heavy-duty rippling on the surface. Forced awakening, can't go back to sleep as if on high dose of caffeine. And this is something different from the timed awakening. In this, you just can't go back to sleep. You're so wide awake, you literally can't even shut your eyes. Some of our members have vivid 3D holographic images while wide awake, even with the eyes open. For example, people will appear and then they'll suddenly disappear. Urges to go somewhere you don't need to, or at times you would not go there anyway. In other words, that's a bit of hypnosis at work.
Uh-huh.
Sensation is that neighbors can see through walls, and they sometimes do this by rapping on, say you're in an apartment, they'll rap on their ceiling, which is your floor, and follow you around wherever you walk. And you're not making any noise. You're in bare feet, and the floor is the reinforced concrete, so nothing's creaking. So they'll rap on your floor, following you around your apartment. Repeated instances where it seems your mind is being read, and just briefly, that can include broadcasting any thoughts you're saying to yourself. Other people will start saying them back to you. You're thinking something, and then somebody else will say it right back to you. Repeated evidence of break-ins, small-scale thefts, emphasis on small, they don't want the police involved, and sabotage both at home and at work. Sudden drop you in your tracks fatigue at times you should not be tired. And that happens to me a lot. I mean,
that happens to me, Eleanor.
When I'm out walking, I'll have to drop on the sidewalk and just sit there in a lump for 5 or 10 minutes until I have the strength to stand up again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fairly common. 2 out of 3 report that. And that is the little survey I read. Now, here's another page on the Raven1.net.
Okay, but wait, because in case we run out of time, I want to give your website one more time. To listen to the radio, it is shoestringradio.net, folks. You can go right in and just listen. And then they've got multistalkervictims.org. And of course, raven1.net, that's the main website.
If you put in electronic harassment, organized stalking, or mind control,
in a search
all of
engine.
These sites will pop up anyway.
Okay, good.
I'll just finish off with a few highlights from the bodily effects. This is the electronic harassment. Forced memory blanking, where you have a thought and it will be taken from you and you can't ever get it back until maybe half a day has passed or something. Induced changes to hearing, both direction and volume. Sudden violent itching inside your eyelids. Strange sensations while you're lying in bed with your eyes closed but awake, that you have transparent eyelids. You can actually see the scene around you through your closed eyelids. Forced manipulation of airways, including externally controlled forced speech. Forced movement of your jaw, clacking of teeth, driving your teeth up and down against each other. I guess that's it, Jackie, eh?
Well, geez, go on. You've got about 30 more seconds, hon.
Oh, okay. Well, forced nudging of arms during messy or delicate work, causing injury or spill.
Like a kind of like a jerk?
Yes.
Okay.
Your muscles aren't doing this. Is an
yeah, it's
form.
Like your arm jerks or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
And of course, finally, they really go after your genitals. They make them itch. They hit them with hot needles. They have forced orgasms and all kinds of things there.
Okay, well, we are out of our hour. And Eleanor, thank you so much for being here, honey. And Godspeed.
Godspeed you too, Jackie.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, Eleanor White. This is a marvelous lady. And we'll be back with you next Wednesday night. Good night, folks. Good night, Eleanor.
Night, night.
Record budget deficits, bankruptcies galore, and the U.S. dollar is at an all-time low. With today's gloomy economic outlook, safe investments are often hard to find. For over a decade, Melody Cederstrom, a discount gold and silver trading company, has been helping people secure their future by investing in the precious metals. Melody has the honesty, integrity, and experience that is often lacking in the precious metals business. Let her put it to work for you. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
You were both in Skull and Bones, the secret society.
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
I've got a vision for what I want to do for the country. See, I know exactly where I want to lead. It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
I've got a vision for what I want to